So glad that Brother Frank in his prayer specifically mentioned some of those things that you all are aware of going on in the lives of your people. This gathering of believers in this place, we know some of the things. We know some of the sorrow and some of the grief that you all are going through. And our hearts are burdened for all of you and for our brothers and sisters who are in a time of trouble. I started a message here about a month ago down at Grace Fellowship, and I started it this way. My grandfather died of cancer, 1967. I was in Okinawa in the service. I couldn't even come home to his funeral. By the time I found out about it, the time the Red Cross notified me, my grandfather, who was the dearest person in my life, he was my hero, he was my idol, and he had already been buried. Jackie went. We were married. I hadn't been able to get her overseas yet. She went and represented me and her at his funeral. My father died of cancer, 1976. He was 64 years old. He was a year younger than I am right now. His brother, my Uncle Walter, died of cancer. My Aunt Faye died of cancer. Walter and Faye had three boys, basically me and my two sisters, their ages. All three of them boys have had cancer. I've had cancer twice. Adam's had cancer. Our son Aaron has had cancer twice. Aaron's wife Michelle, her mother, died of cancer. Our daughter Amy, her husband Gene, his father died of cancer just 2 years ago. Carrie, our daughter-in-law, her mother Becky, died of cancer. I know a little bit, and us as a family, we know a little bit about suffering. We know a little bit about the grief and the sorrow that you all are going through, this suffering. And us brought to the scripture back in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Our Lord speaking through Isaiah, and Isaiah said, "Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord." And I thought when I read that, where is comfort? How are we comforted? How are we comforted in these times of sorrow and grief and suffering? In times of tears? In times of bodily pain and disease and sickness? How are we comforted? It's not in the things of this world. Contrary to what religion says in our day, it's not in health, it's not in happiness, it's not in beauty, it's not in wealth. Those things will not comfort. Not when your heart is broken, not when you're weeping tears of sorrow and pain. So where is comfort? Where is comfort? Turn to Romans chapter 8, the portion that Brother Frank read, the first scripture that he read, verse 18. Paul dealing with this in this letter to the church there at Rome. He's writing to believers. He's writing to those saints there at Rome. Those that have been called by the grace of God, called to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ came. Those for whom He died. That's who He's writing this letter to. It could be written to you in this place tonight. Take this letter and go home. This is addressed to you. It's addressed to you. And Paul said in this letter to these believers, dealing with this subject of comfort in a time of sorrow and grief and pain. And you all know about it. All of you know about it. And if you don't know about it, you will know about it. And remember this when that time comes, when the Lord visits you with this time of kind of trouble. He says in verse 18, right into these believers, He said, I reckon. We don't hear that word used anymore. You know, when I was a kid, everybody said that. You remember that? Everybody said, I reckon so, I reckon, you know, this or that. But in the Word of God, that word is a mathematical term. It's a sum up. I sum up. I calculate. I come to a conclusion by an orderly manner. I reckon. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul said, I reckon. This is where comfort is. I reckon. And he goes on and he says, these sufferings. You see that it's plural. It's not singular. It's not one time in your life are you going to have a broken finger. It's not one time in your life that you're going to have an ingrown toenail or a bruise on the back of your hand. This is sufferings. Sufferings, plural. There are many of them, and they come often. And you know that. You know that firsthand, all of you. All of you here know that firsthand. But Paul said, I reckon. I sum up. I come to this conclusion. that these sufferings, plural, many of them, and they're outside a believer. Paul's writing to believers. And he said, I reckon that these sufferings that are outside, that have to do with your loved ones, have to do with your family, have to do with your dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we know something about that suffering. We know something about that sorrow and the grief. We know something about laying there on our beds at night and our heads on our pillow, wet with tears, weeping over loved ones. He said, I reckon, I sum up, I come to this conclusion that these sufferings that are outside, that we all go through in this life, and these sufferings that are within, this struggle that we have within, this struggle that we have with the old man, God's given us the greatest gift, the most amazing blessing in all of His creation. He's given us to see His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us to flee and lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing blessing. And yet, this old man rears its ugly head even oftener than daily, by the minute, by the second. And we struggle with the old man. There's a commercial on TV, and there's these things going on, and somebody will say, if these things just pop up, and they'll say, well, I never saw that coming. I never saw that coming. I say that 100 times a day. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? I know where it came from. It came from old Dale. It came from me. And we have these struggles. We have these sufferings. Without those of you, my goodness, I've known Tara since she was born. I've known who she was. I've known her dad. We're boys together. We're boys together at 13th Street Church. I've known him all my life. And I know a little bit about the suffering she's going through. And where's comfort at these times? Paul said, I reckon that these sufferings, and he goes on and he says, at this present time, right now, not what you suffered last week and last year, what are you suffering right now? What are you going through right now? What's the Lord been pleased to visit you with today? Well, Paul said, whatever it is, I reckon. I come to this conclusion. By grace, I come to this conclusion that the sufferings of this present time, right now. Now, tomorrow, there'll be another present time. And tomorrow, there'll be another suffering because it's sufferings. This is a continual thing. This goes on and on and on. Our Lord dealt with this here in His public ministry. He said in John 16, verse 33, In the world, you shall have tribulation. But here's the comfort. Be of good cheer. Do we know something about that? At these times of suffering and pain and sorrow, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. The Lord said, I've overcome the world. You and me, I and you, overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Paul said, I reckon. I sum up, I come to this conclusion that the sufferings of this present time, and here it is. Oh, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can we get a hold of that? Glory that shall be revealed in us. In us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writing to that church at Corinth, and you know this story. It's one of them, I don't know that the right word is favorite. We shouldn't say one scripture is more favorite than another, but I guess we could say the word, the Lord has blessed it more to my understanding or to my blessing me. And Paul said, writing to them believers at Corinth, he said, I knew a man about 14 years ago. Whether he was in the Spirit or out of the Spirit, I can't tell. But he said, this man, he was caught up to the third heaven. Caught up to the third heaven. I don't know if he's in the Spirit or out of the Spirit. I can't tell. But he said, this man heard and seen things. It said, and the Word of God said it's unlawful. It's not possible. Paul said it's not. Paul's talking about himself. The Lord brought him up to wherever that is, the third heaven. And he said, I saw things. This is Paul. This is Paul that can take these mysteries of God. And God gave him the ability and the grace to write these things down. And here 2,000 years later, somebody that worked in the steel mill for 40 years can pick it up. That's what that means. That's what that means. And this man, brilliant man, that God used to write the bulk of the New Testament, 14 books out of the New Testament, this man wrote. And Paul said, I'm not able to tell you. What do you think Paul saw? Paul saw that glory that was revealed in those Old Testament saints. I believe he saw Moses. I believe he saw Moses up there fellowshipping with the Lord Himself. I believe he saw Isaiah. I believe he saw Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I believe he saw Noah. I believe he saw those men. I believe he saw Jonah. I believe he saw those men in that glory that's going to be revealed in us. One of these days, when the Lord's pleased to remove our tent and to bring us into His presence, then we'll know. And then that glory that's going to be revealed in us. That's what Paul's saying here. I reckon. And I can't say this to you that are going through these difficult times. I can't say this. Just read it. Just read what God said through this man Paul. He said, I reckon. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. I reckon that the sufferings that you're going through out there, outward, those are your loved ones, your parents, your mother, your father, sister and brother, your children. Is there any grief like going through the grief of a child? Any grief like that? Is there any sorrow like that? Did David ever weep so loudly as when he heard that Absalom had been killed? Absalom, my Absalom. There's no grief like the grief in a family. Grief of a son or a daughter. Paul said those sufferings that are outside and those sufferings of this grappling and wrestling and fighting with this old man and these things, these feelings and emotions and anger and fear and all these things. I think it was John Newton. I'll try to recite this poem. I hadn't considered doing this, but it's a good poem. John Newton, I think, wrote this poem. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who never heard His name. If I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin, can I deem myself a child? If I pray or hear or read, sin is mixed with all I do. You that love the Lord indeed, tell me, is it thus with you? Yet I mourn my stubborn will, find my sin a grief and thrall. Could I grieve for what I feel if I did not love at all? Could I joy His saints to me, choose the way I once abhorred, find at times the promise sweet? If I did not love the Lord, Lord, decide this doubtful case. Thou who art Thy people's Son, and shine upon this work of grace, if it be indeed begun. Let me love Thee more and more, if I've loved at all, I pray. And if I have not loved before, help me, Lord, to begin this very day. Struggles without, sorrows without, this is weeping, this is tears over those things going on outside you and those things going on inside. It's a struggle, it's a battle. But Paul said, I reckon that these sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy. To be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. That's me and you. In us. I drew me a little diagram here. It's as primitive as what you'd expect out of Dale. And I've got a little fulcrum here, and I've got it's a balance. It's a little scales. You know, a scales is perfectly balanced on a fulcrum right there, like that. I've just got a little line across this thing. And I've got over here at the left, I've got it a little tiny dot over here on this side of the scales. And I wrote above it, sufferings. And I put an arrow down. This thing goes down. That's what Paul's talking about. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, oh, there they are. There it is, down. It's tilted down. It's grievous. It's sorrowful. And then I drew another diagram. And over here on the other side of this, I drew a block this big. I drew a block this big. And I wrote on it, the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I put an arrow, a big arrow, going down. Just like that. These sufferings, oh, they're grievous. They're tough. It's tough times. You all know about it? Your pastor's going through a grievous time. But Paul said, in a way of comfort, I reckon that this suffering for this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. 1965, I was 20 years old, and I got drafted. Down here somewhere, and you know what? I can't believe it. This is how you lose it after you get a little older. Frank, you'll know about this one of these days. I don't remember where the Ventura Hotel was. It's either there on the block where Burger King is, or the next block up above the Paramount. But there was a big hotel stood there. I mean, it was the biggest building in Ashland. Wasn't it, Charles? I believe it was the biggest building in Ashland. And everybody went there and took their physical for the service. That's where you went. Everybody was drafted. You went to the Ventura Hotel. I mean, people, this was 1965. Vietnam was full-blown war, 1965. Everybody wasn't in school, and everybody wasn't married and had kids. Everybody got drafted. I drug old Dale down there. And I remember, scared to death. Buddy. I mean, scared to death. Well, we walked in there, and one of the things they do, got you in a big line. I mean, there may have been 100 people there that day, and you went, just walked through, and you come through a door. Here's a line all the way winding around through the room. And up there in the front of the room, there's the scales. The scales was a big platform, and it had a great big arm that went up. And it had a dial. It was that big. And this thing went to 300 pounds. 300 pounds. And you stepped up there. It was part of this. How much did you weigh? All these things was part of it. You'd step up there. I weighed 155 pounds. Can't believe it. I weighed 155 pounds. There was a big old boy there. I mean, he was a buster. Lived out here around Grayson somewhere. And we all couldn't wait till he got on that scales. I mean, we'd take our turn, and then we'd hide in the back of the room, you know, and watch him. And he went up there, and he stepped on that scale. 300 pound, that needle went bang, just like that. It hit 300 pound. I thought it was going to knock it off there. And they couldn't weigh. And they went and found a feed grain scale in an old feed store. One of them with steel wheels on it, and they rolled it out, 420 pounds. I mean, he was a big boy. Tall, too. I mean, he wasn't just big like me. He was a big boy. But I thought of this when I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, there's these sufferings. And then that glory that the Lord has intended to bestow on us. Bang. That thing goes the other way. Is that comfort or what? Do we get comfort from that? That's the only place there's comfort. It's in the hands of our great God and Savior. There's comfort nowhere else. Nowhere else except in the Lord. Now look right across the page. Right across the page at verse 28. And there I say again, this is one of my favorite portions of God's Word. I shouldn't say that it was my favorite, or one of my favorites, but I should say the Lord has used this in a greater way to comfort me. Now you, what He uses to comfort you, the Lord will roll you His nugget out there on the floor when it's your time to go through the valley. But He's rolled this big gold nugget out and said, Dale, this is your nugget. And I've jumped on this thing. And I love this portion of God's Word. These four verses, just these four verses right here. And Paul says, now remember the context here. I reckon that the suffering of these present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, we know something about that he mentioned over there in verse 18. We know about these sufferings. They're not worthy to be compared. We know that. We've got a grasp of that. God, by His grace, has showed us that. But we also know this. All things. Oh, Paul Morton. All of you know Paul Morton, I think, attends down at Grace Fellowship. Paul's going to be 96 if he lives to this fall. He's going to be 96. And Paul, whenever that word said, he said, what part of all don't you understand? He said, what part of all is not clear to you? It's all things. All things. We know that. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we know we love Him because He first loved us. He loved us in eternity past. He gave us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a surety for all those people that God gave to Him in eternity past. And in time He came and He represented all those people. He died for all those people that the Father gave Him. And He worked out a perfect salvation for those people. Those people is going to hear the gospel. And the Spirit of God is going to cross their path and give them faith to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to flee to Christ. And He's going to keep them by His grace and by His power. By His all-sustaining power. All things work together for good to them people that love God. To them who are the called according to what? His purpose. I can't ever past this portion of Scripture. And those of you that are my age or even younger, you know this story. This is it's a story. It's about a man. It's about two men. But it's about the truth. Way back there in about 1950, Rolf Barnard, many of you knew Rolf Barnard. I knew Rolf Barnard. He scared me to death. He had eyes that he'd look across, and he'd lean across the pulpit and look right at you. And them eyes, you remember that, Sharon? He'd look like he was looking right through you, right into what you thought yesterday, you know. He's frightening, I mean, and his voice, he's piercing and everything. Well, he's holding a meeting down at 13th Street. He's way back there. Henry was just a young man. Henry was 24 years old or something. Sitting right there on the front row down at 13th Street, you know. No, down at Pollard. I'm sorry, down at Pollard. So Rolf was preaching along, and just for an illustration, he said, Pastor, he said, can you quote Romans 8:28? And Henry's sitting there, probably about as scared as I was, you know, and he said, I think I can. He said, stand up, quote Romans 8:28. Henry got up, you know, and he said, he's telling this story. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. Sit down. And he said, he looked up there at Rolf, and Rolf was just glaring over that pulpit, just staring a hole right through him. He said, is that all of it? Henry said, no, that's not all of it. He said, do you know the rest of it? Henry said, I think I know the rest of it. He said, get up and quote all of it. And Henry got up and he said, and we know all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And if any of you ever heard Rolf Barnard beller out, purpose! Get a hold of that and it'll unlock the whole Word of God. Everything God does, He does on purpose. We know. All things work together for good. There's where comfort is. There's where comfort is in the heart of a believer. Do we understand it? No, we don't understand it. Do we even see the completion of the purpose of God? We may not. We may not live to see it. It may not be for us. It may not be for the one going through the trial. Maybe for one of these little ones. Maybe for one of these little ones. We've done a study in the book of Ruth back 2 or 3 years ago. Many of you was down there and heard this study that we brought. And I started this book and I said, way back there. I mean way back there. Abraham come up out of Ur of the Chaldees. You remember that? Abraham brought his nephew Lot with him. And they both become herdsmen up there in the land of Canaan. After a period of time, there were so many. God blessed them so materially. There was goats and sheep and cattle, so many that it was overgrazing the land. And Abraham's herdmen and Lot's herdsmen got in a battle, got in a scuffle, you know. And Abraham went to Lot and he said, this ain't right. He said, now you choose where you're going to go and I'll go the other way. And old Lot looked down there towards Sodom, that wicked place. There was grass down there tall enough the elephant could graze in it. He said, I'll go down there. Abraham said, okay, I'll go the other way. And Lot went down there. You remember that story. And Lot was down there for a period of time, and then God came down there to judge that place. And He spared Lot and two young daughters. And they left that place and they went to a little town called Zoar. And the next recollection is recorded in God's Word is those two girls was fearful that there wouldn't be an heir. You remember that story? And they got their dad drunk. And each of them went in a different night and went in and lay with their father. Both of them conceived by their father. And one of these girls conceived and bore a son. His name was Moab. And he left and he became a rascal. I mean, he was a rebel. And a whole tribe of people sprung from him. And they warred and battled and fought with everybody. And this went on for 800 years. And 800 years after this awful thing that happened, all things work together for good to them who love God, who them are the called according to His purpose. 800 years later, there was a little girl born way up here next to Jerusalem. A little girl named Ruth. And Ruth, in the purpose of God, was going to be found by a man named Boaz, whose mother was Rahab the harlot. You remember when the nation of Israel came out of captivity down there in Egypt? They'd been down there for a number of years. They come out. They wandered around in the desert for 40 years because they wouldn't obey God's command to go in and take that land. And all those men that was over 20 years of age that left Egypt died in the wilderness. And when the last one died, God told Joshua, He said, go in and claim the land that I've given you. And Joshua sent spies in there. You remember that story? And they came to a harlot's place. And her name was Rahab. And she hid those men up on the roof of her house. Up there in the stalks of flax that was drying up there. And before they left, She said, "Will you be merciful to me?" And he said, "We'll be merciful to you." He said, "To all those that you love." She said, let this scarlet thread out of this wind. All you love, you bring them here, because there's not going to be safety anywhere except where this scarlet thread's hanging out of the window. When we come through in judgment, we'll spare whosoever's behind the scarlet thread. Picture of Christ, that scarlet thread that's woven throughout the whole Old Testament. That woman, Rahab, she fell in love. When Israel come through and God delivered that place, they spared that one woman, Rahab the harlot. And she fell in love with a man named Salmon, a Jew named Salmon, and they married, and they had a boy named Boaz. He was a kinsman redeemer. And him and Ruth got together. And that was King David's great-grandmother, great-grandfather. And it's in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. Purpose. Don't end the story down there with Lot and that incestuous relationship with that young daughter, probably 14 years old. Don't end the story there. As awful as it is, and as awful and as sorrowful and as grievous as these trials are, don't end the story there. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good comfort. He'll cheer your heart. Cheer your soul. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. Purpose. God does everything that he does. He does on purpose. Verse 29. For whom God did foreknow. Did he foreknow us on purpose? Did he foreknow us on purpose? He sure did. Everything God does, he does on purpose. And we had Brother Mark Daniel down and preach for us this morning. And he dealt a little bit with this time thing that we get so hung up on. Earl's smiling. He was there. He knows what I'm talking about. And it's a difficult, because we're linked to this thing that we are. We can't fathom eternity. We can't fathom eternity past and eternity that way. And sandwiched here in the middle of the eternities is this little span of 6,000 years that we call time. But God always loved these people. God's people was always in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people was, he always foreknew. He foreknew us. However long eternity is, we was always in the mind and purpose of God. We was always in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb slain from way back there, from the foundation of the world. Why was he slain in the purpose and mind of God? Because of me. Because of you. He's always known us. He's always loved us. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Did God predestinate us on purpose? Did he purpose for us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what he says here. Predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. He has the preeminence. He's always had the preeminence. And he will always have the preeminence. This foolishness that people talk about going, getting their crowns in heaven because of these pitiful things that we strive to do here on earth, that's foolishness. He's the preeminent one. Everything that we ever are or have or will ever be, it's because of his grace, because of him in us, doing in us. We're going to be predestinated and conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Did he call you on purpose? Was it on purpose that he called you? Did he call you on purpose? Always in the mind of God? Always? Can you get a hold of that? I can't. But I just know it's true. Always in the mind of God. At some time, as we call time, at some time he was going to cross our path with the gospel. And he was going to give us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'll need to hear. That's what will save my wretched soul. He will. And he gives us the faith to lay hold of Christ, to flee to Christ, to cling to him and trust in him and rely on him. He called us on purpose. And whom he called, them he also justified. Did he justify us on purpose? It's all on purpose and it's all on God's purpose. So I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. He justified us. He makes us righteous. How in the world can I be righteous before God who's pure holiness? How can I be righteous in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Nowhere else justified us, made us righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did it on purpose. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And that gets back to this that we're talking about. this glory that's going to be revealed in us that Paul couldn't even talk about, that Paul couldn't even describe. It's so magnificent. I reckon that these sufferings and that the time we go through them, you know what I'm saying. You've been there. You are there. These sufferings, they're grievous. They're painful. They tear your heart out, cause you to weep, sob over loved ones and over ourselves, what we are, our rebellion against our Heavenly Father and our neglect to go to Him in prayer and look for Him in this precious Word that He's left us. But we're going to be glorified. These things, not worthy to be compared. What shall we then say to these things? Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us. If God be for us. Is God for us? That's a word. I wish that weren't there. I think the translators have missed this here. If. That's a word that we use, and it has this particular meaning to it. There's a possibility that it won't happen. There's a possibility that it can't. If I say, if I can, tomorrow I'll come over and help you mow your grass. Very good possibility I won't be there. Very good possibility I won't be there. Because I can't bring it to pass. I can't. Seeing that God's for us, or absolutely, God is for us. God is for us. Who can be against us? Who can be against us? What can be against us? There's nothing that can be against us. Turn over here the last two verses in this chapter and we'll close. Verse 38. For I'm persuaded, Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. If I haven't covered everything, if I've missed something, I'm going to cover it here. Any other creature, any other thing in creation, none of it shall be able to separate us, me and you, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's where comfort is. No place else. Don't look for it any place else. These knotheads on television that are telling you these things, turn them off. Take your shoe and throw it right through the TV. They're lying on God. This is what He said. This is what He said. The sufferings of this present world, not worthy to be compared. But we're going to have them. We're going to have them nonetheless. And they're many, and they're often, and they're grievous, and they're sorrowful. We're going to shed many tears in this walk here below. But be of good cheer, God's people. He's overcome the world. He's overcome the world. And everything He does on purpose. He calls us. He loves us. And in His time, He'll remove us and bring us to Himself. That's where comfort is. Nowhere else. It's been at least 63 months since I've heard Brother Mike sing this song. I talked to him this afternoon on the phone and asked him if he's able to sing a special. And he's going to close the service with this song. That I've longed to hear this. Ever since I've talked to him this afternoon, I've wanted to hear this song. Thank you all.